Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're talking about NATO and President Trump and the summit that has recently concluded in Brussels. And it began with President Trump sitting across from the NATO Secretary, Jens Stoltenberg, and I'm sure I'm destroying that name. The NATO Secretary General seemed to be taken aback because it seemed like he wasn't used to this kind of thing. President Trump said many countries are not paying what they should, and frankly, many countries owe us a tremendous amount of money for many years back, where they're delinquent, as far as I'm concerned, because the United States has had to pay for them. Garrett Martin, our guest, professional lecturer at the School of International Service at American University. Good morning, Professor.
Well, good morning, Tommy.
Thank
you for having me on.
Thank you, sir. I'm guessing it would be doctor.
Either way.
Yeah, okay. So in terms of, just to get straight on the dollars here, do the NATO countries owe the NATO fund anything, or is it because of underfunding their own defense program in light of the 2% of GDP that they agreed to in 2014?
Well, I think, yeah, it's important to be sort of precise here. I mean, when we talk about the 2%, first of all, it was a non-binding pledge. It's just the member states agreed to make that commitment to reach that level.
But, Doctor, let me step back 1 minute. That's about their own defense spending and not about contributions to NATO. Is that accurate?
That's exactly correct.
Okay.
There's a much smaller NATO budget to which all states contribute, and it's based on their own, the size of their own GDP, and to which the United States contributes about 22%.
And
separately, that's how much defense spending each state does, and that's a non-binding commitment.
And as far as that goes, no country is in arrears on that, as I understand it. Instead, the president's premise is that because they underfunded their own defense, and I put that in quotation marks, their own defense budget, that somehow the United States had to step up theirs. But is that accurate?
Well, not really. I mean, I've been on record being very critical of the 2%. I don't think it's a very good metric. I think it's politically clear and simple. But let's keep in mind, for the United States, for instance, the United States is a global military power. When they spend 3.5% on defense, it's to deal with a lot of global responsibilities well beyond Europe. So I just think the 2% is not a very good metric and not very helpful.
Let me talk about the president's upcoming meeting with Vladimir Putin. It seems as though, you know, I hear a lot about Russia, the president saying that Putin is not, and I think he reiterated it this morning during his press conference, that Putin is not an enemy, he's a competitor. Your thoughts on that?
Well, that is an interesting expression. I mean, from what I saw this morning, for instance, he did at least reassure some people saying that he wasn't happy about the annexation of Crimea. I think there's great uncertainty, as in most cases, with President Trump about what he's going to say and do. So I'm just sort of anticipating, like most other sort of followers, about what exactly is he going to agree to when he meets President Trump, President Putin. And I think there's a great deal of uncertainty here.
So in terms of I lost my train of thought here for a second, Professor.
Not a problem.
In terms of the president's behavior with other allies and taking the UN Secretary General by surprise and his blunt approach, is that something that is likely to yield better results because it's different, or do world leaders in general get offended by this kind of thing, or is everything what we see as it appears to be? French President Macron saying there was absolutely no agreement in terms of countries upping their defense spending, going to the 2%, I guess, that was required. The president was saying he wanted 4. But at what point does this turn political, where they have one agreement, then the French president comes out and says something else? But do you understand the question I'm asking?
I think so. I mean, I would say the following. I mean, I think in the short term, it can yield some results being that blunt, being that forceful. I think it can create a sense of urgency. But I think if you keep doing it, there's diminishing returns over the long time. Allies are going to start getting annoyed with you, and they're going to start ignoring you. I think, secondly, it's also a little bit counterproductive, because if you keep on sort of showing certain disdain towards your allies, they also have, you know, a public opinion. They also have domestic politics, and it becomes a lot harder for them to increase defense spending if that's even what they want to do, if they're being seen or they perceive that they're being bullied by another ally. So I think ultimately it can be counterproductive in the long run for Donald Trump to be constantly bullying his allies, to be very fair.
But to be fair, also, Presidents Obama and Bush have also called out NATO, right, for not spending enough. Is the difference merely in the approach?
I think it's, I mean, you're absolutely correct that complaining about burden sharing has been a constant from all American presidents dating back to President Eisenhower. So it's absolutely, there's continuity here. I don't disagree. I think there's a difference in style and the tone, and also in just being only focused on that matter constantly. I think this morning there was a meeting that was supposed to be on non-spending matters, and President Trump kept returning back to the 2%. So I think that's also different, the fact that he is just so single focus on only that issue and nothing else.
Thank you, Professor and Doctor. I appreciate your time. I hope you can come back and join us one day.
My pleasure. I would love to.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.